Blog Talk Radio.
My ideas and content must be a reality, so all my dreams can come to be a possibility. All success starts with a decision just to try. Failing is inevitable if we do not fight. Knowing your purpose, meaningful life. Great execution brings confidence in your smile. If you believe, then you can fly. Don't waste one more time, you can soar up to the sky. I say I'm a winner, greatest live inside of me. Nothing you can do to stop me from leaving. Yeah, I know I can, I know I will, 'cause I'm a winner. Every day to greet the morning sun, to ensure what I said I do what's really done. Come in my plans to God, no procrastination. All weakness in my life I have to overcome. No time for doubt, no time for fear. Problems will come but I will let them disappear. I cannot slow down, I have to run. I see the time and I must complete the mission. 'Cause I'm a winner, greatest living inside of me. Nothing you can do to stop me from leaving. I know I can, I know I will, 'cause I'm a winner.
Internet radio.
Hey, Big Mike.
Yes, sir.
It's ready.
All right. Well, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone, and good evening, and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I'm your host, Brother Mike, and tonight we're going to continue with part four of our teaching on generational curses. This is going to be Generational Curses, Volume 4. The sponsors of tonight's teaching are Reverend D.W. Dalton, Reverend Thilton, Reverend Roberts, Reverend McDaniels, and Reverend Witherspoon. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and get ready to get started with the teaching tonight. Pastor Emmett, you now have the mic.
Okay. All right, we want to thank you for listening to us here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio. We have a lot to cover tonight, so the sponsors cut some of the music short because it's just a lot of information on generational curses. And we're trying to do this as biblically as possible. Everything that we give you is scripture behind it. We will not give you anything and just start talking and don't show no scriptures to back up what we're saying. People need the Word of God. They don't need religion or hearsay or fables. They need God's word. And I pray that this teaching of generational curses would enlighten those who don't know anything about it, And you'll be surprised how many times people trip up themselves. Also, there was word of knowledge that went out about arguing. And the Lord gave four people a warning. And those same four people got all messed up. The devil really trapped them. I want to tell any of you and everywhere worldwide, whether you're in a deliverance ministry or not, man, your peace with God inwardly is more important than outside or tangles with spirits live in people. And when people are angry, the Lord showed me, look at my heart when I get erupt and get angry. Something's in it. You got a lot of hurt in you. Why I say this? If you see in the Bible, Jesus, they talked to him like a dog. He didn't say anything. He didn't get upset. The devil was trying to tempt him even before he was dying by trying to get Christ angry. Not once did he did. And Pontius Pilate said something to him. He looked up, he said, you know, I can do this to you. He said, no, if it's not for my Father in heaven, because I can get legions of angels here to deal with this. He put his head back down. Anytime you engage yourself with arguments with whoever it is, you have lost the spiritual battle. You in the flesh. Anger is not the righteousness of God. All right, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this word. We ask that the power of the Holy Spirit illuminate this word. I ask that you use me as your oracle. How God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, and who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Come, Holy Spirit, use me. We take authority over every spirit that will block the hearing and any spirit of slumber. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We stopped at the proud. Now we're going to pick up at those who trust in man and not the Lord. That is a curse. Anytime you trust in yourself, you know, there's a thing say you got to do what you got to do. That ain't in the Bible. There's nowhere in the Bible saying you have to do what you got to do. When people are like that, they're doing what they want to do because they don't trust God, and they're doing it on their own. There's no biblical standard to supplement that. Nowhere. You know, and I get people get angry at me because I quote scriptures. They're not mad at me. They're mad with the word of God. Because they're trying to go about and live without it. And what people get caught up in doing is trusting in themselves, and then they put a curse on themselves. Anytime that you do something independently from God, God has nothing to do with it, you put a curse on yourself. And that's in Jeremiah chapter 17, 5. Thus says the Lord God. And he speaks about trusting in yourself. Let's go to Jeremiah 17, 5, Brother Mike.
All right, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Let's get it here. All right. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord.
Thus saith the Lord, cursed. C-U-R-S-E-D, be the man that trusted in man. You trust in a human being to do something for you. Now, the Lord said to me, some people can hear this wrong as husband and wife. That's different because they're one flesh. The husband is responsible to provide for the family. We're talking about trusting in people more than God, trusting in your cousin Bo Diddley, because he know the manager that can get you the job. Instead of praying, you're going to trust in that. And you're going to go with what Bo Diddley said, but you won't go pray. That's trusting a man. Those who trust centered in themselves and in human resources are destined for disappointment, spiritual property, and an ultimate loss. On the contrary, those who fully trust in the Lord will be blessed and ultimately reward with a godly inheritance. They will not be afraid or anxious in any of life's circumstances, because their root goes deep down into God. That's deep. So if it's deep down in there, you won't be talking about, well, I got to do what I got to do. You're going to trust the Lord. And some people don't know how to wait on God. What causes people to not wait on God? Peer pressure. You may be under pressure with someone else. You see someone that you love need something, you should pray. Let me tell you something. Prayer is more important than anything that you can do in life. I ain't have one dime, but $300 to my name. And the operation that this dog received was $3,000. This owner didn't know me from diddly, but happened to know a veteran friend of mine's wife who works for them, who knew Bishop's mother and father. And because of that person that the Lord contacted me to go through happened to know her husband or ex-husband, they're still friends, Bishop wouldn't have had an operation. The power of prayer supersedes any and everything. And we put ourselves in curses when we don't believe and trust in him and wait. We put ourselves in certain areas of curses. Those who do the work of the Lord deceitfully, that's talking about teaching a doctrine that's not of God, especially the prosperity ministry. That's ridiculous. If anyone studied the Bible, they wouldn't sit under that. Because if you rightly divide the word of truth, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And the prosperity ministry of those ministries to substantiate everything in the Bible precedes money. Money is the top thing that God can give in that doctrine. And that's deceive people. That's in Jeremiah 48:10. If anyone who keeps back the sword from blood, that means if you know the truth and you don't tell nobody, you're going to be responsible. So it's not good that you read the Bible, to be honest with you, if you don't want to live it. Because I have to live everything I read, and it's a work, but it's a rewarding work through life. And if you hold back the sword of God, you can put a curse on yourself. That's in Jeremiah 48:10. You can also see 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 35 through 42. Those who reward evil for good, a curse come on you for doing that. Proverbs 17:13. Children who physically hit their parents, a curse come on you. Exodus chapter 21, verse 15. Kidnappers, that's a curse. Exodus 21:16. Deuteronomy 24, verse 7. Those who curse the unborn to die, Exodus 21:22 and 23. Let me show you what that is. A woman has a child. She don't want this child. I wish this damn thing die. I hate it. I'm going to get rid of it. Those who curse the unborn to die. Exodus 21:22 and 23. Those involved with witchcraft, God hates it. Exodus chapter 22, verse 18. Those who sacrifice to false gods, that's a curse. Exodus chapter 22, verse 20. Those who attempt to turn away anyone from the Lord, that's a curse. Deuteronomy 13:6-9. Those who are into the horoscopes, the zodiac signs, the Geminis and the Leos and the Capricorns and the Libras and all them demons, that's a curse. Deuteronomy 17:12. False prophets. We're going to really get into that tomorrow, Tuesday. False prophets. We're going to hammer that. Oh, we're going to get into that. False prophets. Leroy Thompson. Women who keep not their virginity until they are married, that's a curse. Deuteronomy 22:13. Parents who do not discipline their children, but honor them above God. Brother Mike, please turn to 1 Samuel 2:17.
First Samuel chapter 2, verse 17. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord.
Read it again.
Wherefore the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord.
They didn't even want to go to the offering. The sin was so horrible to God. That's the parents doing that. That was back in the Old Testament they was doing that. Those who curse rulers, 1 Kings 2:8-9. Those who teach rebellion against the Lord, that's a curse. Jeremiah 28:16-17. Those who refuse to warn people of sin that they could be committing, that's serious. That's in Ezekiel 3:18, blood on you. Because when I tell somebody something, give them the word, whether they know it or not, I'm not responsible. Once I say it, they should at least go get a book and read. But most times people are locked into somebody else's problem or themselves or whatever, and they will not go to that scripture. Because the devil don't want to send them to that scripture. Those who refuse to warn them that sin. Brother Michael, Ezekiel 3:18-21.
When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if
you have to warn
wicked,
somebody, that's right.
And he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul.
So if you know something, you don't warn somebody, that's going to be on you. Now, this one I really want to tap on, because most of you Christians don't honor the Sabbath, and you call yourself Christians. If you would study the Bible and communicate to Yeshua, the same person gives me word of knowledge, the same person that healed Brother Tommy on a Sabbath day. Legs were straightened out. Sclerosis in his spine. Straightened out. Healing on the Sabbath. Now, those who may not believe, well, Passover is making a big issue. No, the Lord told me to teach this when I first started my ministry. Fellowship of Deliverance Internet Radio was on Sunday 1 week. That was it. God said, I got to send you to Israel. I got that. But some of you still won't study it. You still don't care. You're here to still go right back Sunday. You're going to be responsible for that. I don't care who you are. Exodus 31:14. Those who defile the Sabbath. Exodus 31:14. If nothing else, don't defile the Sabbath. Go sit down somewhere at 6:30. Whatever you do on Saturdays, rest. You ain't got to go to church on Saturday. Just go sit there and then go back up in that place on Sunday. But give God his Sabbath and let him learn to study that. Brother Mike, give me Exodus 31:14.
Ye shall keep the Sabbath thereof, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death, for whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people.
That's how come ain't no healing on no Sundays, man. Y'all sitting up in there looking for somebody to get healed on a Sunday. Big Mike, give me comeback.
That's right. You don't see that on happening on Sundays like you do on the Sabbath. And I know for a fact, personally, I've been observing the Sabbath for the last 11 years of my life. And I've seen more miracles. I've seen more. And I've seen more connection with the Lord on the Sabbath, because the Sabbath day is his day of rest. And a lot of people don't realize, you know, the Sabbath was created to give us a day of rest. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the Sabbath day is a day of rest. You know, we have 6 other days out of the week to do everything that we want to do. Why can't we give the Lord a day off to reverence and worship him, give the Lord his day? And what bothers me the most is people on Sunday, you still don't really even reverence and worship. Wait till football season start back up. You be rushing to get to church and get out so fast to go catch a football game,
yep,
and still don't even honor the
Lord.
Yep.
They ain't thinking about the Lord. People are caught up in a cycle. It's just a cycle. Now watch this. Now that's in the Bible. Hold on. Okay, Brother Mike, give me Numbers 15:32-36. You people need to really check out the Sabbath, man. Don't just hear this and say, okay, just check it out. You ain't got to go to church on no Sabbath. Just stay home from 6:30 Friday evening to 6:30 Saturday. Can you just sit down, read the Bible, be with your wife, sit down somewhere. Just sit down and then get up after that. Can you do that for God? My God. Numbers 15:32-36, Big Mike.
And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks on the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron, and unto all the congregation. And they put him in a ward, because it was not declared what should be done unto him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And the congregation brought him without the camp, and stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord God commanded Moses.
Boy, hey, Big Mike, it'd be a lot of folks stoned today, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir, it would be. It would be.
No dollar getting stoned. T.T. Jakes getting stoned. Osteen up there on Sunday. They've been in stone, y'all, get the mess like that with God back in the law. Now, let me, Reverend Sanders just now said that's the Old Testament. Well, let me give this to Reverend Sanders. He didn't shout it out of his mind. Hit him with Mark 2:28, Big Mike.
Mark chapter 2, verse 28. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath.
That's Jesus. He's the Lord over the Sabbath. Now, that's New Testament. And y'all still can't hear that. Mike, what blocks people from that? Is it slitheresis? Or is it a religious spirit? Or mind demons? What's blocking that?
All of the above.
All of the above. You hit it right on head. You hit it right on head. Those who sacrifice human beings. That's a curse. Leviticus 22. You participate in any seances and any fortune telling? That's a curse. Y'all need to hear this because you got a lot of Christians dabbling in this stuff. Brother Michael, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6, please.
And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people.
Y'all be messing with that stuff, man. People want something quick and fast. Homosexuality and lesbianism, relationships, curse. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. A woman having sexual intercourse is doing her menstrual cycle. That's against God. That's a curse. Leviticus 20, verse 18. Necromancy, speaking to dead people and telling fortune tellers. That's a curse. Leviticus 20, verse 27. Those who blaspheme the Lord's name. That's a curse. Leviticus 24:15-16. Now watch this. If you are carnally minded in your mind, that's a curse. If you are carnally minded, it's death. And that's a curse. Brother Mike, Romans 8:6. Carnal mindedness is a curse. That's why you probably can't hear God, because you're under curse.
For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Life and peace represent blessings. Death represents a curse. Sodomy, that's a curse. Genesis 19:13, 19:24, and 19:25. Rebellious children, that's a curse. You see children rebellious? That's a curse. Deuteronomy 21:18-21. Now, there are 7 indications of a curse. I got this here. All of that I studied for myself. But what I'm about to give you now, the first 7 comes from Blessing and Curses by Dr. Derek Prince. These are 7 curses that may have excess in your life. 1, mental or emotional breakdown. If you see that in the family line, that's a curse, man. Someone going crazy, ADD, schizophrenia, those are curses. Repeated chronic sicknesses, the same sicknesses over and over, that's a curse. Barrenness and tendencies to miscarry or conceive children, that's a curse. Breakdown in family marriage, that's a curse. Financial lack, that's anywhere in the world. If you're a Christian, the Lord told me, it doesn't matter where you at. If he say he'll meet your needs, he will. And we trust too much in the system of these governments. That's probably why some of y'all can't get blessed. Could you trust in the government more than God? That's a curse. Accidental prone, that's a curse. Suicide and untimely deaths, that's a curse. Now, I want to show you something about preachers who preaching, and it's not coming from the Holy Spirit. It's coming from their mind. It's coming from their natural writing stuff, from their natural understanding reading. That is a curse when you do that upon people. I'll show you where it's at. Brother Mike, give me 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. We are called Christians in the Bible.
Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost.
So you can't curse God if he's saying Jesus. Read it again.
Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed.
Stop.
And that no man can say that.
Stop. No, no. Stop right there. Just stop right there. I want everybody to meditate on that. Because God's going to show you something. Just look at that and read it. Keep looking at it. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye was Gentiles, carried away in these dumb idols, even as ye were dead. Wherefore, I give you to understanding that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. So if you're not speaking by the Spirit of God, you are calling Jesus a curse. So if you're speaking and it's not coming from the Spirit of God, it's a curse thing that you're saying. It has to come from the Holy Spirit. The Godhead must work through us. If without the Godhead, we'll become independent from God and become rebellion against God and become a rebel against God. He's in us, greater than he that is in me, than he that is in the world. When preachers are preaching and it's not coming from the Holy Spirit, he is speaking curses on people. Turn to Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. But though we or any angels from heaven preach, an angel talking about preaching any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That is again. You have to preach the gospel of Christ and everything in the word of God, and you won't be accursed. Hey! But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel. Now, why is it the Bible says that there is another gospel? That's also in 2 Corinthians 11, 3 and 4 of another gospel. And the prosperity message is this other gospel. And when you're preaching that, it's not from the Holy Spirit, it's Jesus accursed. Because you're cursing Christ with it don't come from the Holy Ghost. The Godhead is in Colossians 2:9, Acts 17:29, Romans 1:20. The word Christians is in the Bible three times, 1 Peter 4:16, Acts 11:26, Acts 26:28. We should get revelation and ask God to show this to you. This is why I like to teach like this. I'm going to come from the scripture because I don't want no curse coming on me. I don't want to be saying something that God did not tell me to say. To whom much is given, much is required. He that teaches to be judged more stricter. I'm dealing with a lot within myself as it is, and I still have to teach. I got to crucify my flesh, make sure I don't get angry, keep me in the spirit. Hey, a lot of work to do. And I definitely don't have time to be speaking something that the Lord didn't tell me to say. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Jesus never preached no prosperity to us. That's a curse. So let Creflo Dollar be a curse. This stuff is serious. Okay, now we got that. Okay, here is another curse. Robbing God. Lord, people just, robbing God. How do you rob God? Tithes and offerings. We're going to look at some scriptures concerning this. Brother Michael, give me Haggai chapter 1, verse 5 and 6.
Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put in a bag with holes.
It's like putting in a hole. When you don't tithe, that happens. Give me Joel 1:4.
That which the palmer worm hath left, the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left, hath the cankerworm eaten. And that which the cankerworm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten.
It eats you all up. But let me get back on this preaching without the approval of the Holy Ghost. The Lord just told me to get back on that. I go back to tithing. This people got to hear this. When Jesus ordained his 12, he ordained them to do some specific things, cast out demons, heal the sick, preach the gospel. But when we see another gospel and it doesn't have signs and wonders, it's not God. Brother Michael, Romans 15, 18, 19.
Romans chapter 15, verse 19. Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ.
Through signs and wonders. And this is what we need. 80% of the churches that we have today is another gospel. Give me Hebrews 13:8, man.
Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever.
He ain't changed. On the tithes part, we're going to look at Malachi chapter 3, 8 through 11, Brother Mike. Malachi 3, 8 through 11, tithes.
Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven, and pour out a blessing, that there shall be, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a blessed, shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord, yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee?
Now, there is a curse called the curse of anger. Oh, yes. God showed this to me. That's made me set this down. That's in Genesis chapter 49, verse 7. The curse of anger. Hit it, Big Mike.
Genesis chapter 49, verse 7. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel.
Not worth it. Now, the last word that God says in the Old Testament speaks about a curse. That's in Malachi 4 and 5. In the middle of the Bible, it speaks about the mediator in between the curse. That's Jesus. That's in Galatians 3:13. And at the last end of the Bible, at the last end, the Bible finally says about a curse in the last book of the Bible. Let's go look at it in Revelation 22, verse 3, Mike.
And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him.
Until then, there will be curses. Curses open up different people, different generations. Some people, when their curses are broken, they have righteous generations. Sometimes when curses are on a generation of people, the Bible specifically speaks about certain generations. And I really believe in the United States of America that the youth today is a stubborn and rebellious generation. And that's in Psalm 78, verse 8. I think America is a stubborn and rebellious generation. We're putting up a stubborn president. See, the head is sick. That stuff go all the way down. Those are curses. There's also an adulterous generation. That's a lot of curses. That's Matthew 16:4. There's a faithless and perverse generation. And if you got this, a generation have this on faithless and perverse, my God, there's nothing good out that generation. That's in Matthew 17:17. The Bible also speaks of a generation that has no faith, none. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 20. We're going to pick this back up tomorrow. I got to get up kind of early tomorrow. I'm going to get me some rest. I have to go somewhere. And I got to take off to take care of some personal stuff right now. And we're going to see everybody tomorrow. But before I close, I want you to remember this, that any time that we open up doors to sin, we have to confess these things. I don't care what it is. If you confess, you can break the curse on Jesus. Cursed is he who hangs on a tree. Christ became a curse that we may inherit his blessings, according to Galatians 3:13. And this is a wonderful teaching here in the book of Leviticus, chapter 26, 40 through 42. If they confess their iniquities and their iniquities of their fathers with their trespasses, which they have trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary to me, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled and then accept the punishment, God says he'll forgive them. So let's look at this whole thing here, because I'm trying to show you something. When we confess our sins, it really helps. Michael, read Leviticus 26, 40 through 42.
Leviticus chapter 26, 40 through 42. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they have trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised heart be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land.
Now, we have to do that. I believe that God is trying to wake us up. Some of us too long have been suffering from curses and didn't even know why you suffered from it. The children of Israel, as the seed of Israel, stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. They did this. Go to 2 Corinthians, Brother Michael, 11:22. We must do that. We don't know what our ancestors have done. I'm sorry,
are they
Brother Michael. I'm sorry, wrong
yes,
one, Brother Michael. Nehemiah 9:1-11.
Now, in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloths and earth upon themselves. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Then stood up one of the stairs, stood upon the stairs of the Levites, Joshua and Benai, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Bunai, Sherebiah, Benai, Kenani, and cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. And the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Benai, Hashabaniah, Sherebiah, Hodiah, Shebaniah, and Pethahiah said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worship thee. Thou art the Lord, the God, who didst choose Abraham, and brought him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, and gavest him the name of Abraham, and founded his heart faithful before thee, and made us a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to his seed, and has performed thy words, for thou art righteous, and did see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heard their cry by the Red Sea.
Now, before I leave, I personally believe that we are living in an up toward generation that the Bible speaks of. And we're going to look at this in Acts chapter 2, verse 40. I personally believe this is where the United States is. Let's go to Acts 2:40. I got it, Mike. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. The untoward generation. No one can be saved who does not turn away from the corruption of present-day society. In Luke 9:41, Philippians 2:15, new Christians should be taught to break off all sinful relationships, forsake the ungodly world, and ultimate themselves to and unite themselves to Jesus Christ and his people and give themselves to God's work. We ain't seeing that. And we're today in an up toward generation. That means a corrupt generation. And we got problems in America. We got problems everywhere when Jesus Christ is not being exalted. We're going to be breaking curses next week. We're going to pick this up back up Tuesday. Tomorrow I'm off. I'll be doing some deliverance. Continue to tell someone about Live Deliverance Internet Radio. We appreciate you telling people about us. We thank you for our new subscribers. We're back at 206 subscribers. And it's a blessing to see it grow. Pray for me. I need prayer heavily on this front line, man. It's like every day I wake up, it's a battle. The minute I wake up, it's a battle. That's in this ministry. You know, and when I wasn't doing this, I didn't have the stuff I'm dealing with now. I never encountered this before. And that's when you know that the devil's real. God doesn't want you to be afraid of him. He wants you to be powerful to deal with him and to understand his schemes. The church and its emphasis should be decreased in this prosperity message, and the gospel should be taught the effective way by that of casting out demons. Nowhere in Scripture that Jesus said, do not cast out demons. As a matter of fact, he commanded all of us to do it. And if we don't understand this in parts of the areas of deliverance ministries that's attached to generational curses, we won't develop and we won't grow. Imagine that you having something in your life that's setting you back, and you never knew what it was. Perhaps it could be a curse. God bless you, and shalom. All right, Reverend Dillmore. Big Mike Dillmore say, get one song in there, and we finna get up for questions. Durden's up next.
All right.
Welcome to my.
Oh, Lord, have mercy, Brother Mike. Brother Mike. Brother John.
Yes, sir.
Where's Brother John?
Yeah.
Reverend Dilbert, Deacon Tittman, Deacon Wallace, and said, please, no, hanky panky, no, I don't want to hear it out of nowhere.
Guilty conscience.
Reverend Dawson says you need to talk to Brother John. They said Reverend Dawson, Brother John says he's hanky panky, he's having problems with it, need you to talk to him.
When you say he's having problems?
Yeah, hanky panky.
Oh. Okay. He wants he wants me to talk to him for a minute?
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody listening or just him?
He don't care, he say. Everybody.
Well, nobody's perfect, brother, until they really have a sincere devotion to God, mentally as well as spiritually. And that's good that you recognize that and you want to do something about it. There's a lot of folks who call and give a flip. They say, yeah, I'm hanky-panky, and they call listening to the sermon or the teaching and laying in the bed with a woman or laying in the bed with a man. But God bless you, sir. I feel like you're sincere about it, especially when you say you can care less who's listening, because we all going to have to go stand before God, and all these other buddies and so-called friends that you think are friends that you're trying to please, they ain't going to be standing there with you. You're going to be standing by yourself, and the Lord just looking at you. And you can't lie to the Lord because he knows your spirit. You know, he already knows who's going to be saved and who is going to be saved. But you know what? In spite of knowing who's going to be lost, he still pursues those folks until the day they die. That's the love of God. That's the unconditional love of God. And so I just thank God that you're really concerned about that. And that's the Holy Spirit convicting you. You wouldn't ask me or anybody else to talk to you. Or either verbalize that way everybody can hear you unless you were convicted by the Holy Spirit. And that's a great thing, man. You obedient to the Lord and the Holy Spirit. You can care less about man, because when our time come, they ain't going to be with you. You're going to be up there standing for God. He's going to say one or two things to you. Welcome to the world and welcome home. I'm getting kind of confused a little bit. Welcome to the kingdom that I prepared for you even before the foundation of the world. That's what he's going to say. Or he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. By the conviction in your spirit tonight, I feel that he's going to say, welcome into the kingdom of God, okay? And so you just ask him to forgive you. That's all you got to do. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry for all my sins, known and unknown. That's all you got to say. You ain't got to sit there and list all 20, 30, 40, 50 sins that you've done, either in your mind or actually did. You can just say, forgive me of all my sins, known and unknown, because we're not perfect.
We got five more coming at you. We got five more questions.
Okay, that's all you got to do.
Okay, Reverend Stillmore to Brother John, Dr. T.W. Stillmore saying, I have a doctorate in eschatology. Please make me come back.
But great. Just keep on studying. Learn as much as you can, you know. Eschatology is good in terms of the book about the end times and that kind of thing. And that's my thing, too. You see, you stepping in my ground now because eschatology is my thing. So that's good. Just learn and be sure not just learn it, you know, appropriate it as well, you know.
Said to tell you that he did a thesis on the book of Revelation. He knows it blindfold.
Well, that's great. God bless you. And since you know it blindfold, then that means that you're fully aware and have knowledge of the judgment seat of Christ. That's when all the believers are going to be saved. And then you're going to have the great white throne judgment. And that's where all the unbelievers are going to go before. There's going to be two big damn judgments. The judgment seat of Christ, where all the saints go stand before God. And what he's going to do, he's just going to bring up some things that you were in error in thinking about, especially some of the reason you got into things. You bring that to your attention, but you're not there you're not there to be condemned. You're just there to be corrected in some of your beliefs. But the great white throne judgment, that's where everybody, man, from liars on up to killers, gonna stand before God who have never repented or took the word of God seriously. They're gonna be before the great white throne of judgment. Like you said, you know the Bible, you did a thesis, well, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm proud of you. God bless you. Keep on studying, man, and hope to see you someday in heaven if I don't see you here on earth. God bless you.
This is Reverend Stillmore. To Brother John, I didn't take anything you told me to do. I went against what you told me to do, and I'm telling everybody I had a very horrible experience. I tried to cast out a demon based on my educational standards, and I got so embarrassed. Dear Brother John, I am talking to you from outside in. I don't even want my name to be known because I'm so embarrassed. The demon did exactly as what you told me to do. It bent me over and put a pole up my ass. Please bring comeback.
Oh.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we have listeners because I have better things to do to sit here, you know, from 9 to 10 and just lie, you know, because I take this thing serious, man. I'm a 77-year-old man. I just finally retired, period, from everything, and I'm home every day, man. I'm sitting at this table every day from 10 to about 12 in the morning, just reading the Bible, talking to the Lord. I go to lunch, walk the dog, take the dog, go walk around the park. I may go to the mall and get something to eat. Come back, and I'm sitting back at the table from 3 to about like 7, studying the Word, getting into the Word, because I got plenty of time to really get familiar with the Lord. Now I don't have to worry about going, getting up every morning and going and got to listen to the boss say this, the boss say that. And even when you're supervising yourself, you got to please people and you got to wheel and deal and all that stuff. Don't have to worry about that stuff no more. And so all my time now, 3, 4, 5 hours a day, I'm just chit-chatting and fellowshipping with the Lord. But we went live when we said that we seen ministers talking about, I have my doctorate degree, and I got these degrees, and I did a doctorate in this. I can do it if you can do it, because y'all don't have as many degrees I have. And I said yesterday that demon said, wait, hold up. So I know some other people want to talk, so let me shorten this way, is that to cast out demons, you have to know all about those different types of demons, where they're coming from, and you got to know the power that God gave you. You have to believe in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, those gifts. If you try to cast out a demon minus those gifts, then you're looking for a good butt kicking, you know, butt plugging. That's what he called butt plugging, because he can have a broom come across the room, and he can wrap that broom right up your butt, you know, kind of a thing. So I'm sorry you had to learn the hard way, but guess what? You ain't there.
Yeah,
and you can repent and follow the Lord the rest of your life, man. You know the truth. You've been experienced. That stupid demon prove what we were saying and teaching as the truth. See, if that was just a bunch of junk we were talking, it wouldn't happen. See, but see, you had to be stubborn, and you went on anyway. But take it as a lesson. Say, Satan, you crapped me one time, but not no more. Say, you screwed up. When you bent me over and did that pole and bashed me like that, you the one that screwed up. Because now I know you are for real. And guess what? Even the people in my church, whoever witnessed that, know you are for real, too, in your demons. So now you can go to hell where you belong from this day on. I resolve to follow Christ with all my heart, and I will concentrate on 1 Corinthians 12 chapter, so that will help you no more. Learn those gifts. Those are your weapons to fight those demons. God bless you.
This is Reverend Stiltman to Brother John. I have to confess my fault. I was trying to do a deliverance by whooping. I indicated to Brother Mike last week, and Brother Michael told me not to do it. I thought that you guys just didn't want me to have the same power that you got. I realized the thing spit in my face before I knew it. My shirt and drawers was off in 3 seconds. Please, can we come back?
You had one wrong thought. And you said, I want the power that you guys were doing and so on, so on, so on. It's not our power. You know, what we're doing is fighting those things in faith. It's Jesus and the Holy Spirit telling us what to do. You know, and when we say come out in the name of Jesus, that demon is honoring the name of Jesus, not us. But he gave us the power, and you know that's the power that the Lord gave us. But it's the name of Jesus that moved those spirits. They frightened us. Now, if you fully following the Lord, then that demon afraid of you too. They jump too. They get out. Say, oh Lord, here come that powerful man or woman of God. You know, kind of a thing, because they see Jesus, not just us. They see Jesus in us, and that's what frightened them. See, because Jesus is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit indwell with us. We confront a spirit. Man, it's this man. This man is a godly man. The Holy Spirit got him moving. And I can see the Holy Spirit giving him those scriptures to tell me. I know those scriptures are not coming out of his mind. Those scriptures are coming out of his spirit, where the Holy Spirit resides. So you see. So just repent. Keep on going, man. Keep on. You ain't dead yet. Like I told them, you ain't dead yet. It's never too late until your eyes are shut permanently. And then you got to go stand before the Lord for the judgment. But one great thing, that maybe meant to happen to get your attention. God knew how to get all out.
Okay, we got another one. The next person we got. Okay, this is from Dr. Thornton. He's a demonologist to you, Brother John. Have you done any exorcisms with Satanists yet, or narcomancy, or deep black magic?
No, not yet. See, I'm still being trained, you know, by Brother Emmett, because I listen every night, and sometimes I'm over his house. And because God gave him, that is his ministry primarily. Mine is salvation. Man, a person can pass by me and I can smell right off and say, this joke here needs to know the Lord, this woman knows. And the Lord would tell me what to say. I don't even have to think it. So that's my calling. But I mean, we all are believers and we should be aware how to fight demons. Don't be ignorant, because we have to have that knowledge. How are we going to defeat a saint, especially when one of your young ladies or young girls come, Pastor, I don't know why I can't stop doing this and I can't stop doing that kind of a thing. And then you go, and then the Holy Spirit said, that's because she's not just hooked in the flesh, she's hooked by a demon. She's opened herself up to demonic possession. And that's how come she can't quit smoking. That's how come she can't quit using drugs. That's how come she can't quit doing this or that and that and that. And that. And you'll be able to help them, because God will tell you exactly what's wrong with that person. See, if you don't have that intimate relationship with him, when you're trying to come somebody, you'd be guessing, well, let me see what would be nice to say. I guess I'll say this. Yeah. That sounds intellectual. See, but when you ministering under the gifts of the Holy Spirit be telling you what to say. Say this. Say that. Tell her this. And she'd be, how do you know that? And say this. Now you blah, 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 blah. How do you know that? You know? And then not only would she be healed, but man, when she get out of that door, man, she can help run to everybody. She can fancy, hey, child. That pastor is cool. He showed him. He told me all my sins. He told me what I was thinking. See, that's what we were looking for. See, so God give us the gift not only so we can defeat demons, but he give us the gift to confirm that he is the Lord of the universe. Because he said, you know, Jesus is real. I thought he may be this white man. I didn't know for sure. But this pastor, he was telling me everything that he had no business knowing. Now I know Jesus is real. See? Okay?
All right. We got Reverend Skinner. I want your position. I've tried to call Brother John to ask for a challenge, He told me that you volunteered, but I want your position to be known. I'm C.T. Skinner.
He said, "What he said he want my position? Is that
yeah.
what he's saying? I ain't
yeah.
got no position. Brother, I'm just helping out, you know, because, you know, he's ministering every night. He finds somebody for Monday, somebody for Tuesday, and what we're doing, we are volunteering, man, you know. That's all I'm doing. I just thank the Lord to give me an opportunity to be doing something, you know, instead of just sitting around the house reading the Bible all day long. Mm-hmm. At least
yes,
it gives me an opportunity to share my knowledge of the Bible. That's the way I see it, you know, right? Like he said, let me see, armor boy. What'd you call yourself, Brother Emmett?
Aaron boy.
See, and what I do,
Aaron
I just
boy.
Call myself a disciple of the Lord. That's all, man. I ain't doing this for no prestige, no nothing. I don't want to go to hell because, first of all, as soon as you try to grab all them titles and everything else, you giving glory to yourself instead of God who's doing it through you, see? And I ain't going to stand for God and go to hell.
Got another
so,
one. Okay.
Yeah, heck with the title and everything else. Just be a servant of the Most High God and serve in the best way you can. God bless you.
This is Deacon Snelton. I ain't did nothing, Brother John. I ain't doing nothing. I ain't did nothing to no damn hanky-panky. Don't talk to me about it. And he says, come back.
Okay, right quick. Well, don't take it personally, because if you're not doing that, don't mean I'm not talking to you. If there was 10 guys standing for me, and one of them was an adulterer, and the rest of them just following the Lord with all his heart, and I'd be, now you need to stop committing that adultery, okay? You need to do it. And they all look and go, mm-hmm, he's talking to somebody in here, you know? They know they're not talking to them. So don't carry that burden. If you're not doing it, then don't worry about it. That just means God is not talking to you. God is talking to somebody else. You got to remember, you're not the only one listening here, man. You got folks in all 50 states listening and some other countries, you know? So we talk about hanky-panky stuff. We talking to the person who just telling God where he can go, and they're going to do what they want to do. You're not in that category, so I don't see why you should be offended. I give an example. If you had 5 dogs outside and one of them was barking, you could, I'm going to shut them dogs up, and you throw the shoe out the window, and the one that it hit, that's going to go, yop, 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 because that's the one who was doing the dog and all that noise out there. So don't be offended. If you're not doing it, I'm not talking to you. God is speaking through me to the person who's just hard-headed and trying to get their attention before they die. If you're not doing it, and I'm talking about quit the fornication, quit the lying, I'm not talking to you. You know, that's stupid to think somebody told you, you ain't guilty. You know what I mean? So if you're not guilty, it ain't the message is not to you. The guilt is one of those guys who's screwing around playing games with God. So you know you're right with God. So don't worry about it. Say, uh-oh, what you should be saying is, that poor fellow, he better straighten up before he died. God giving him another chance. That's what you should be saying. See? So God's not talking
one.
To you. God is talking to the person
okay.
trying to be slick.
Deacon Wilmore, would you please stop talking about damn hanky-panky?
Oh, Lord, here we go again. Sir, if you're offended by it and hanky-panky, then, you know, I hate to think that maybe you're doing it, because all you got to say, well, it's not me. God is talking to somebody who he's trying to correct. That's the way you should look at it. So quit talking about that dang hanky-panky. Hey, man, that's the mercy of God. Because you guess what? That person who heard that may not hear it anyplace else. So God using me, God using Brother Mike, God using Brother Overton, and that's what he's doing. He's trying to get their attention. So don't be offended. God's trying to help somebody, man. That's what he's trying to do. That guy, God ain't going to let nobody come up there and face him and tell him, well, you ain't never told me. I ain't know I was wrong. I didn't know that, you know. So that's what he's doing. He's trying to get somebody's attention. So what I'm going to say is mind your own business. He just say, he ain't talking to me. He say, yeah, he's not talking to me. But you know what? He's trying to, that's the way you should look at it. He's trying to straighten somebody out. Remember, God loves us unconditionally, but sinners ain't going to get into heaven. And when we leave this earth, we're going to live forever and forever and forever, either in hell or in with heaven and with the Lord. So don't be offended.
Okay.
Me. See, okay.
Yeah,
all
I
right,
got
we'll
another one.
Trying to get
I
the
got another
that's
one.
All.
This mm-hmm. is Reverend. No, this is Deacon Swilton. Every time you say hanky-panky, my head hurts inside, something inside starts itching. Stop it.
Okay, you need to talk to Brother Emmett. See, that's an influence
demonic.
Of the demonic spirit. They don't like it. Okay.
Okay.
So you,
when you
I
guys,
talk to Brother
when the
Emmett
word
about
of God is going,
this.
Yeah, when the word of going like that, and you're hating the subject, those are demons. You have opened up yourself to some pornography. You've opened up yourself to pornography, and that opens up that door. You just call me, area code 444-6195-22. Okay, this is from Reverend Stroutman to Pastor Michael to, okay, to Brother Michael. What's the most interesting thing that you have encountered with Pastor Overton and this person who is, I'm new to coming in. I heard a little brief last night on your clip, and I heard something about Brother Emmett and this person named Gun Gangster. Could you tell me your experiences? Have you ever done any deliverance with Gun Gangster and Pastor Overton? Please bring comeback.
Yes, I have. Gun Gangster is Pastor John. That's his daughter, and she works side by side with Brother Emmett when doing deliverances. Both of them rely heavily on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and when I say that they are a team, they are a team. It's like the right hand works with the left hand works with the right hand. They both have, from what I've seen, the word of knowledge. And what I mean by that is that anytime that they're doing a deliverance with somebody, the Holy Spirit reveals to them and gives them word of knowledge on the different types of spirits that are in the person. So Brother Emmett may get a word of knowledge that a person is having, you know, headaches, and he'll say, you know, have you been having headaches? And then the person will be like, yes, I've been having headaches. And then Sister Durden will be like, well, that's the spirit of such and such and such and such. And it's like I said, I mean, from the deliverances I've been on with, I've seen the gifts of the Holy Spirit manifest and work through them. They can't stand the demons now. They can't stand them. Those spirits, they cannot stand Gun Gangster, and they cannot stand Brother Emmett. And I've heard them curse them out and call them all kind of names, but they are like, I would say, one of the best that you can get when it comes to doing deliverances. You know, I give the all glory and honor to the Most High, because, you know, He has blessed them with those gifts that they use, you know, in the deliverance ministry. So, amen.
Okay, this is from Floyd Wilmore. I listen to you guys and I joke a lot. This is a joke. This is directed to my brother-in-law, who I have a lot of love for. I'm only joking. Dear Brother Mike, I'm a Cleveland Brown fan. Come join me.
No. You can keep it.
Oh, Lord.
Nope, no Cleveland for me. Sorry, buddy.
All right. I have a Wilton Eaton. There has been manifestations of dark shadows in my room. Found out that the house that we had was a home for a witch who did a lot of Satanism, black masses, and lots of narcomancy here. I went to my preacher. He couldn't do nothing about it. He ran out and left and said, don't come back to the church anymore. Jesus Christ. Boy. Ma'am, you don't need to go to no soothsayer. That's in these paranormal investigations. They just record the sounds of demons. What you got to do is take, first of all, if you believe in Christ, you have to take the authority of the Lord Jesus and rebuke that curse out your house and dedicate that house to the Lord. Take the cursed land, listen to the curses that we've been talking about, and you can learn from that. And renounce narcomancy, renounce that, get it away from your home. Where are you at? Oh, you're in Georgia. Ellenwood? Oh, I know where that. Oh, I can come to that. Yes, ma'am. All right, give me your name and number, and I can do that. My number is 444-6195-22. Call me tonight. Thank you. Okay, this is air code 714. You have the mic, area code 714.
Hey, brothers, how's it going?
Hey, Pat, brother, how you doing? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I definitely need to catch up on a lot of studying over the weekend. But, just happy to fellowship.
Amen. I'm going to see you Saturday night. Saturday or Friday? Saturday night?
Saturday night.
11 o'clock.
Perfect.
Okay. 845.
Amen, 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 brothers. Amen. How you guys doing tonight?
Tired, brother. Physically tired.
Brother, my prayers are always with you all, with the ministry and lovely teaching always, brother. I'm so honored to be here listening, learning, laughing too. You guys are funny. I mean, all these emails are funny. It seems like a lot of sexual sin out there, and you know, I think a lot of those reverends and those brothers out there should really study. I believe it's 1 Samuel, maybe even 2 Samuel. They should probably study and see what David did, and how Solomon, how that transferred over into Solomon. And I believe he had like 1,000 wives. So, I mean, sexual sin is a big, big one. It's tough. And it could definitely take you down into real deep waters. So, but anyhow, brother, the teaching on curses is very, very powerful, brother. It blessed me. And one thing that stuck out to me was the curse of anger, something that I've always dealt with in my life as a child. And, you know, even now it comes up in little spurts, you know, so I got to kind of have that. I have to have my flesh on a tight leash. But, you know, one thing you said, I think it was a couple of nights ago, you just said to always run to Christ. Don't run away from him. Anything that we do, any sin. And that's what I'm still really trying to do. Just always run to Jesus Christ. And, you know, no, don't be condemned. And, don't beat ourselves up. Just run to Christ, and, you know, and repent and just keep moving forward. And, you know, I think that's one thing that, we should all do as, Christians. So lovely teaching, brother. Prayers always with you all. Love you guys. And, may you guys, have sweet sleep and, peace and, shalom.
Okay, that's it for tonight. We're going to get ready and close, and we're going to thank our sponsors. Brother Mike, just ready and close us out. They're about to get ready to have intermission, and the next speaker is going to be coming up in 20 minutes. We'll be out of here for the next broadcast that they're going to be having another church. Close us out, Brother Mike.
Amen. Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for the word and the message tonight. Father, bless those, Father, who are listening out there, Father. Thank you for the sponsors of tonight's teaching, Father. Continue to have mercy upon us, Father. We cover this ministry, Father, under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father, and we ask for your many blessings, Father, that we continue, Father, to pursue after you with all our heart. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.
Hey, Brother Mike. Brother Mike.
Yes, sir.
Do you know what a curse
yes, sir.
Of anger is at? Did you write that down, the curse of anger?
Was it in Genesis? Let's see.
Could you give it to me? That was given to me. Anybody have that? I was getting that by the Spirit, and I didn't have no notes on that. I'm trying to write it down for my own self now.
Genesis 49:7.
Hang on, wait a minute. Wait a minute. curse of anger. What is that?
Genesis 49:7.
Thank you so much. All right. I'm learning too. Okay, Big Mike, because I got that by the Spirit. I didn't even know I said that. Okay, Big Mike.
All right. Did you need me to read it?
No. You can go ahead and close us out now. I'm good.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening. And we thank you for all of you out there for your support worldwide. Thank you for the sponsors, Reverend D.W. Dalton, Reverend Thilton, Reverend Roberts, Reverend McDaniels, and Reverend Witherspoon. And if it's the Lord's will, we'll see you again next week here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Shalom, everyone.